Good morning. I want to finish strong. God wants me to finish strong. Jesus wants his church to finish strong. To do that, I have to take the steps of faith that God is asking me to take. I need to move with God. I need to obey him. I need to step out in faith and do what he asks me to do. That's our theme for 2012, to make your move, whatever it is that God is asking me to do by faith, obey that and do it. So my question to you, as it is frequently to myself, have you made that move? Have you taken the step of faith that God has challenged you with? He is calling you to take a step of faith. There's no doubt about that. Some of us need to step up to the cross and just recognize who Jesus is and give our life to him and follow him as our Lord and Savior. Some of us need to step out by faith and obey in a specific area of our life. It might be in our finances and our giving to trust him in that area. It might be in an area of our life that he's been calling us to do something for him, and humanly speaking, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem practical. It doesn't even seem reasonable. But he's calling us to step out and obey him. For some of us, it's just sharing who Jesus is to us. At work, at home, at school, in the places he's put us. We've just kind of been fearful or hesitant. And for some of us, that step of faith, that move that God's calling us to make is just to do that. Open your mouth and let Christ come out of your mouth, out of your life. For some of us, it's victory. Taking a step of obedience, a step of faith to experience victory in a certain area of our life that has just kind of trampled on us for a long time. And it's held us back. His divine strength has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Some of us need to believe that, actually believe it, and in faith step out and be victorious in Christ. For some of us, it's relationships. A relationship that needs to be healed, a relationship that we have played a part in it not being what God wants it to be, and it's time for us to step up to the plate and do our part to be what he wants us to be. But I guarantee you this, God is calling you and I to take a step of faith. He's calling us to move. So have you done that? Have you taken the move? Have you made the move that he's called you to make? And if not, why not? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from obeying Christ and taking the step that he's called you to make? In our series so far in this letter to the church in Corinth, we've discovered that we're blameless in Christ. If we're a follower of Jesus, in him we've been covered. We stand unaccused because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We saw that we are to be united. That's what he wants his church to be. United specifically around the cross, around the gospel, around what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us and for the world. We've seen that we're chosen. We've been chosen by him, not based on anything we have to bring to the table, not based upon our skill or wisdom or influence or power or finances. It's purely based on his grace that he chose us. He chooses people to be a part of his family. Our word for this morning, as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you want to open your Bibles and get there, we're going to look at that in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, this whole chapter that we're going to cover this morning, the word is empowered. I have what I need to live out the life that he's called me to live. I've been empowered by the Spirit of God. That's Paul's message in this part of his letter. Speaking to this church that was really struggling. They were divided. They were misguided. They were caught up in the things of the culture in which they lived. They had all kinds of challenges as a group of people in the city of Corinth in that first century. And when he comes to this part of his letter, he reminds them. Or maybe for some it was the first they had heard of this, that you are empowered. You have what you need to be what God wants you to be. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And as we read through these verses this morning, I challenge you to answer those questions. Have I moved? Have I taken the step of faith that God's calling me to take? And if I haven't, why not? What's holding me back? What is it that's keeping me from making my move? Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the gospel. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Wow, Paul is human, just like us. The great Apostle Paul. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, of what He could do. So that your faith, when you responded to the message, your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, my ability, Paul says, my eloquence, my persuasive ability, but that your faith would rest on God's power. We're empowered. We're empowered to be what God's called us to be. Paul starts by giving his own example, his own testimony. He reflects on when he first came to Corinth. And he says, I didn't come to you, even though he was very skilled as an orator. He was very educated. He had the first five books of what we have in our Bible memorized, committed to memory. He had been trained since he was a small boy in the Old Testament scriptures. He was very eloquent at persuading people to do what he wanted. We know that he was able to get leaders to give him warrants of arrest and condemnation for people. He convinced people to come with his plan and do what he wanted them to do. He was able to motivate people. He could win an argument. If he was alive today, we would invite him to the presidential debates, and he would win every time. And yet he said, when I came to you, I came in weakness, recognizing my humanity and my limitedness. And honestly, I was a little bit afraid. The city was an intimidating city. I was a little bit afraid. I was a little bit fearful and with much trembling. And that phrase has to do with he recognized the seriousness of the moment. What was at stake? That he was taking the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, into this city for the first time. And based on his experiences in past cities, he was pretty confident that it was going to be painful and that he was going to face resistance. And he knew that the enemy, that Satan, would do everything he could to keep the gospel from going out and for people to respond to it. And he knew that there could be physical violence, there could be persecution. So he says, I came in that sense, in that state, recognizing that it's not my ability, it's not my eloquence, it's not my skill that was going to transform people's lives. And so you know what I did? I just focused on Jesus and Him crucified. That's all I wanted to know. We would say it to this way today. That's all I want to talk about. Katie, quit talking about your pregnancy. I don't care about your pregnancy. I just care about Jesus and Him crucified. Well, how did all the animals get on the ark? That doesn't make sense. I don't want to talk about all the animals getting on the ark. I just want to talk to you about Jesus. We can talk about the ark later, but what I really want to talk about is Jesus Christ and that He died for you. He was crucified on the cross. He was buried and He was resurrected the third day. That's what I want to talk to you about because that's where the power is to change your life. So here's the point. Don't do what God is asking you to do in your own strength. Do it in the power of the Spirit of God. Some of us are not making our move because we're afraid. We're afraid we don't have what it takes, or we're afraid of our past, or we're afraid of our current setting, our current circumstances. We're afraid of our lack, in our own mind, lack of ability, lack of skill, and we're just frozen in fear because we just don't think that we can do what God is calling us to do. Well, guys, put yourself in good company. The Apostle Paul was afraid. He physically was trembling coming into the setting. See, courage is not the absence of fear. You've heard this before. It's a favorite line in war movies and fighting movies. Courage is not the absence of fear. That's true. It's action in the face of fear. It's moving in the face of fear. It's getting up and taking a step in the face of fear. You ever been frozen with fear? I've had a few moments in my life where that's happened. I've had it happen in my house when you're laying in bed at night and there's a sound. And the house. Anybody else's house creak and make snaps and pops, and it just you swear somebody's in the attic. Somebody's got to be. And then this week, did you see the news story? Somebody's remodeling a house, and they decided to sleep in the house because of all the copper theft. We don't know anything about that. And people are taking copper. Well, sure enough, some people, and so they were sleeping there in the house, but a couple of guys got up into the attic, or I think it was one guy, got into the attic and slept in the attic all night. And while he was up there, he wasn't sleeping. He was stripping the copper. And so they heard a creak. They heard a pop, just like you and I hear. And they called the police. They came and they found a guy up there, and he was stripping copper from their newly remodeled house. So when you hear that creak or that pop next time, there just might be somebody in your attic stripping your copper. But, you know, I've had a few of those moments where I've been in bed and I've heard a sound and I swear somebody's in the house. And I've laid there in the dark. My eyes are wide open. I've got my children, my wife, and I'm thinking, what do I do? What if somebody really is in the house? And physically, my body is just frozen. Is that okay? Do you think less of me because I'm frozen in that moment? Some of you do. See, courage isn't the absence of fear, but courage is that I put my leg over the side of the bed, and I get up and I grab, you know, usually a pair of socks is all I can find, and put one in the end of it so you've got that little thing, you know, you can at least smack them in the head. It's action, it's movement in the face of fear. And Paul was afraid. Paul recognized that what was about to happen in the city of Corinth did not depend on his own ability. He also recognized there was a danger for him to slip into that. There was a danger for him to want to win. You follow me? He wanted to show, there's a danger that he wanted to show, or he could show, that he was eloquent. He was gifted. He was an orator. He was educated. He was smart. He knew what to say. And there's a danger that we slip into that. Paul gives us the example here. Do what God is asking you to do in the power of the Spirit, not in your own strength. In fact, don't try to do it in your own strength, because it's not about winning. Some of us need to leave today with just that. It's not about winning arguments in serving Christ, is it? Can you win the argument? Yeah, some of us can. Some of us can make someone look dumb, make someone, you know, see your arguments, you know, it's dumb, they fall apart underneath my scrutiny. And so I've shown the superiority of my point. Paul says it's not about winning. In fact, it's not even about persuading. It's not about persuading people to embrace the gospel. It is about the power of the gospel, the message itself. Paul said earlier in chapter 1, the preaching of the cross to those who are being saved is the power of God. You're arguing, your skill, your ability in ministry is not what's going to transform somebody's life. What I'm doing up here this morning, whether I have skill or not, that I'll leave that up to you to decide, isn't what's going to transform someone's heart this morning. You know what will transform your heart this morning if this happens in your life today? It'll be the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the creator of the universe, chose to come to earth, take on the form of a man, was born as a baby in the womb of a woman, and grew up and lived among us and willingly went to the cross and allowed himself to be tortured and treated the way he was and nailed to a cross to have his blood poured out, willingly give up his life to be taken down to be buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, through the power of God, which we just sang in those songs, he had the power to rise again. And through that conquering of sin and death and hell, he offers to you and me freedom, forgiveness, mercy and grace, and becoming a part of his family. See, that's the gospel. That's the message that will transform your life. I may not even say it perfectly right. Some of you that maybe, or well, he kind of left out this little part here. You know, he didn't talk about the transubstantiation. You know, maybe I didn't. It's the power of that message that's going to transform someone's life. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross that changes us. Paul said, I came and I intentionally just wanted to know Christ and him crucified with you. It's not about persuading people. It's about proclaiming the message. And you know, all I need to have, all I need to know in order to move forward is what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's all you need to know to take that step of faith, to move, to obey, to trust him. Whatever area of your life that he's speaking to you about, even if right now he's saying, you just need to come to me. You're not one of my sheep. You're lost. You're in the dark. I am the light, Jesus says. Come to me. And you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find forgiveness. You'll find cleansing. All that guilt you're carrying, All that shame that you have right now that nobody else can see, and you've got it tucked away, but you know, you're carrying it. I'll wash that all away. I'll set you free from that. That emptiness you feel inside, that loneliness, that sense of your life just doesn't matter, that you're one of 7 billion plus, and who cares if you live or die? He says, I want to replace that with peace. I want to replace that with love. I want you to know that you matter to me, that I created you uniquely. I know everything about you, and I love you. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know to step up and just move. If it's coming to Christ in faith or it's obeying him in some way, all I need to know is that message and how it's worked in my life and how it's changed me. Don't do what God is asking you to do in the power of your own strength. Do what God is asking you to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's empowered you. And if you're holding back and you haven't made that move because you're afraid, you just don't think you have what it takes, the church that Jesus intended us to be is a church that is empowered by the Spirit of God to do what he asks us to do. Whatever he's asking you or me to do, you and I can do it if we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Focus on the gospel. We want to persuade, but there's a word here that captured my attention. We want to persuade. God wants to demonstrate. And he wants to demonstrate through you. See, Paul says in that in those words we read, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, verse 4, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. What is the demonstration of the Spirit's power? It's a transformed life. It's the process of sanctification and being remade into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the demonstration of God's power. See, it's not even in the words. We can proclaim the gospel, and that's what we need to do, but the demonstration of his power, the demonstration of the Spirit at work, is a transformed life, being set free, moving from darkness to light, moving from lost to found. And Paul says, that's what I wanted to see happen. That's what we need to see happen. And guys, the way it happens is through us. You and me, as his children, are meant to be the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Make sense? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, a living display of grace and a living display of peace. The power is in the message, not in us. We become the demonstration. I don't know if I put this in your notes. If I didn't, I encourage you to write this down. Only Christ, only the cross. So you have what you need to take that step. You know what you need to know. You know Jesus, and you know what he's done in your life, then you're ready to move. Do it in the power he gives. Look at verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So we don't try to persuade. We don't try to use our skills to those that we're sharing the gospel with, those that we're ministering to in our world that God's called us to love and to reach. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, those who have grown up in Christ, that are spiritually mature. But it's not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, literally coming to no effect. They're just passing away. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Is that true? Yeah. It is pretty much. Now you get your moment in the spotlight and you exercise your power as some kind of leader. You know what? In 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, it's somebody new. Somebody else has taken your place. All of man's wisdom, all of man's reasoning, all of man's philosophy, it's all coming to nothing. Verse 7. No. We speak of God's secret wisdom, literally a mystery. It's a mystery to the human mind or to the human condition. We speak of God's secret wisdom, mystery of God, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, if they'd known this mystery, if they'd known what God was doing and what Christ was about, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have understood that this was the creator of the universe, they would have known that you can't kill him anyways. And they also would have known that that's exactly what he came to do. And they just fulfilled his plan in putting him on the cross. But see, they didn't get that. They didn't understand that mystery, that God himself would take on human form, that he would become one of us. He would be born on this planet and live among us and then willingly allow himself to be spit on and slapped and mocked and beaten and jammed with thorns and whipped, have his flesh torn from his back, dragged through the streets and humiliated in every way possible, and then allow himself to be nailed to a cross so that he could pay for the sins of the world. So they didn't see that. They didn't get it. If they'd known that, if they embraced what really was going on, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. However, verse 9, as it is written in Isaiah chapter, I believe it's 26 or 29, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." See, humanly speaking, you just can't grab a hold of what God's plan is. It's not going to be understood through human reasoning or understanding. Your eye, it's not with the senses. You can't see with your eyes, you can't hear with your ear. Your brain can't comprehend what God has in store, what he's doing, and what his plans are. However, but, verse 10, God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. What I couldn't understand through my own senses, I understand through the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that opened my eyes and my heart and my ears to see and to hear and to get who Jesus Christ is and why his death on the cross is able to cover my sin and what my destiny is, what my future is, what the plans are. I get that only because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. I couldn't figure it out, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. He examines everything. He's aware of everything, even the deep things of God. The Fraser has this connotation that's things that you just can't know by yourself. They're things that belong to God. Deuteronomy 18:18. The things that belong to that are heaven. That's their source, and that's where they're understood. And I can't understand them as a man. They're just too deep for me. One word, Trinity. There you go. I don't get it. But you know, I get enough of it, and I understand the big picture of it through the Spirit of God. Those deep things of God are understood by the Spirit of God. He searches all things, he examines, and he knows all things, even the deep things of God. Verse 11, for who among men, and Paul's just going to make a point, he's going to help us understand this, who among men, people, knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? It's impossible for you to know what I'm thinking right now. You can make some good guesses based on what I've said and what I will say, but you really can't know what I'm thinking about you in this moment. My wife claims that she can read my mind, but she cannot. The better you know someone, you can make pretty good judgments and decisions, but Paul says, you know what? Nobody really can read Nate's mind right now, not even Stacy, except Nate. Nate knows what he's thinking. We could ask him to tell us and he could lie to us, right? He wouldn't because I know his character, but I can't know what he's thinking. Paul says that's impossible. So if that's the case, how do we know the mind of God? It's the Spirit of God. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God's thinking. They're intimately one, John 17 tells us. There's nothing that the Father knows that the Spirit doesn't know, that the Son knows, that the Father doesn't know, that the Spirit doesn't know. He knows the mind of God. He knows the heart of God. He knows the plans of God. They are one. So what's Paul saying? I need to pay attention to what the Spirit is doing. I need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. I can't know your mind, but I can know God's mind through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that'll help me know because he knows the mind of God. I need to pay attention to what the Spirit is doing. If I'm going to move and move in the right direction and move in the power of God, move in the direction God wants me to move, I need to be paying attention to what the Spirit is doing. Do you see there in those verses that it all is about the Holy Spirit and what he's about and what his purpose is, what it is that he's supposed to be doing? He's revealing God's secret wisdom. He's the one that's opening up our eyes to see who God is and what he's doing. So learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit. Because here's the challenge for us in a day, I think unlike any other day, We have more access to information and voices and philosophies and ideas and thoughts than ever before in human history. It's just crazy. I mean, this little thing that I'm holding, and I got a phone that's even smaller, and on both these devices, I can go Google just about anything you can imagine. And I can get 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 responses. You ever notice, you ever look and see how many there are? Typically, we just look at that front page, right? And we kind of look for what we're finding for. Every once in a while, look over and see, in 0.78 seconds, we found 1.3 million responses to your query. Wow. It's crazy. It's overwhelming. What does that mean for us today in this century where God has chosen us to live? It means I really have to learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit of God. I need the discernment. And where is that discernment going to come from? From the Spirit of God. I need Him. I need to understand His voice. I need to recognize His voice. According to Paul's words here, the wisdom that I need, the information, the understanding that I need, that is God's mind, only comes through the Spirit of God. It won't come through any other source. It's my only option. If I want to know God and I want to move in the direction that He's moving, I want to know His heart, I want to know His mind, I want to know what He's about, and I want to be a part of that, then I have to know the Holy Spirit and I have to know His voice and listen to Him. And then open up your life to the work of the Spirit. Learn to recognize His voice. Listen to the Spirit of God. Spend time in God's Word, because they'll always speak in unity with the Word of God. They'll never conflict each other. The three are one. And then I need to open up my life to what He wants to do. I need to pay attention to what He's doing. I need to understand His voice. And then I need to open up my life to what He wants to do. I wrote some things down from my own life that I'll read them out loud. He reveals what has been kept secret. He reveals what God has in store for me. He shows me how God thinks. He understands everything. He gives me what I cannot acquire with my own senses. So, don't resist Him. Don't neglect Him. Don't grieve Him. Certainly don't underestimate Him, because He's with me all the time. He's in me. Follow Him. Listen to Him. You want to make your move? You want to be what God wants you to be? You want to be a part of the church that He has called us to be, so that we finish strong and we become the church that He intended us to be? I certainly do. I really do want to finish strong. I want to finish well. For me to do that, I have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I need to pay attention to what He's doing, what His role is, what His purpose is, what He's trying to accomplish. And then I need to open my life up to that and allow Him to have the ministry in my life that He's intended to have. And when I do that, I'm empowered. I'm empowered. I have what I need to walk victoriously in Christ. I have what I need to be a faithful testimony and witness for Him. I have what I need to be a godly husband and a godly father and a godly grandfather, a godly man. I have what I need to be what He's called me to be when I'm in tune with the Spirit of God, because that's where the power comes from for me to be that man. That's where the power comes from for you to be that man or woman. You want to finish strong, pay attention to what the Spirit is doing, and connect with Him. Open up your life to what He wants to do in your life. Look at verse 12. Let's finish up this chapter. We have not received the spirit of the world, Paul says, and this could mean a couple of different things. It could be the attitude of our culture, the world that we live in. It could be a reference to a demon, a demonic influence, Satan himself, who is sometimes referred to in that way, that, you know, just his ideas, his philosophy, what he wants to see happen, which are very absolutely anti-Christ, anti-God, and God's plan. He says, we haven't received the spirit of this world or what this world is about. We have received the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given us. See, the secret again is Him. He's the one that helps me. If we ever, ever, ever get to this place where we think, because I've been in church a long time, I've read the Bible a lot, I know a lot about God, and I ever get to the place where I think it's about me rather than the Spirit of God opening my eyes, I'm in big trouble. Big, hairy trouble, whatever that means. I've heard that about my whole life. I have no idea what it means. But I'm in big, hairy trouble when I get to that place where it's somehow my accomplishment, my persistence, my faithfulness, my whatever. It's the Spirit of God that opens up my eyes. It's what helps me understand. He helps me understand what God has given me. Without Him, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't tell you how many times in my life with Christ, my journey with Him, that I've read a passage that I've read countless times before. And all of a sudden in that moment, I get it. I've read this. I taught that to junior high boys in a decade long gone. You know, 30 years ago, I taught that. And as I'm sitting there reading that, and I'm just asking God to show me what this means and open up the eyes of my heart to understand His voice, He opens it up. And a passage that is familiar to me takes on whole new meaning. What is that? That's the Spirit of God that is giving me the ability to understand what He's given me. I have everything I need in Christ. It's all mine. But I need the Holy Spirit to help me understand it. And Paul says in verse 13, this is what we speak. This is what we talk about. This is what we proclaim. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, and powerfully open up the eyes of a human being, a lost, hopeless human being, finite, created. And He opens up the eyes of that person to see. I get it. I understand who Jesus is. I understand why He died on the cross. I understand why He did it for, I mean, I don't understand in the, you know, in the logical sense, the intellectual sense, but I get that He did it for me because He loves me, not because of anything I could do or ever do or earn, or I just, all of my best efforts are just like dirty rags. I get that. And my heart is broken. It's convicted because of my sinfulness. I get it. I see it in all of its ugliness. And I understand why Jesus died on the cross for me. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's His role. That's His job. That's His task. And as I walk with Jesus through my life, then I'm still equally dependent upon the Spirit of God to open up my eyes to understand what He's freely given me. And this is what we proclaim. This is the message. This is what God wants us to teach. And not in words taught by human wisdom. Again, don't try to logically, philosophically have it make sense to people. Are we afraid of that sometimes? We're afraid of the spiritual? We are. We live in a physical world, right? What we can see, touch, taste, feel. Our senses rule us, do they not? Oh, come on. How many of you are hungry right now? Okay, me too. My stomach's doing it too. Our senses, and so what are we going to do in a little while? We're going to eat, right? Shame on you for eating. You know. But no, because that's how we live. We're driven by these senses. And if I can't see it, taste it, touch it, then I'm not sure it's real. I'm not sure I can count on it. And so we're afraid sometimes to talk, to live in the spiritual realm. Paul says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. See, there is a spiritual realm. And it's going to outlast this physical, material world that we live in. It's real. It's all around us. And if you need proof, if you need evidence, just look within. There's a spirit living in you. I went to 4 funerals this last 3 weeks. I've been to 4 funerals. And sitting at each one of them, it brought back memories of being, I've been with people several times, when that person is actually deceased. They died. And their spirit left their body. You want evidence? Be in one of those moments and take a look at that person seconds, milliseconds after something has happened. Something is different. Something is missing. See, there is a spiritual realm. We are spiritual beings. And God is a spirit. And Paul is saying, you know what? Stop being afraid to talk about spiritual things in a material world. Quit apologizing. Quit being embarrassed. Quit being afraid. Because it's all real. And this is what God's called us to do. Verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. And therein lies our problem, right? That's our struggle. We talk to our friends. We talk about the spiritual truths. We talk about heaven. We talk about hell. We talk about Jesus coming and going back. And our friend sits there and goes, what in the world are you talking about? And that flood of heat comes over us, and embarrassment and worry and fear of rejection, all these things start creeping in, and we go, oh, and so then we just kind of back off a little bit, and we try to, okay, don't get fanatical on him. This is why we struggle with it, because when we live in a physical, material world with people whose eyes are still closed, we run into this directly. The man, the woman without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to them. They don't make sense. And he or she cannot understand them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They're understood through the power of the Spirit. The spiritual man makes judgments, examines, and understands all things. How? Through the Spirit of God. But he himself is not subject to man's judgment or to this culture, this world's idea of what is valuable, what is right, and what is wrong. We don't answer to that. We answer to God. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who is it that's able to tell God what he should and shouldn't do and what should happen and whether or not there really is a spiritual? You know, hell, come on. Really? That was something we believed in a long time ago. We don't anymore, right? Heaven's just kind of a place, you know, somewhere where you just kind of get to live in a place that you like and everything's the way you want it to be, right? An actual place, location with God? Not so sure. And so we start telling God, basically, what is, don't we? As people, we tell him what is. And he says, really? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Now, is there someone who knows the mind of the Lord? There is, right? We just read it just a little minute ago, but Paul's going to make sure we get it in this last phrase. We have the mind of Christ. We know the mind of God. Why? Because the Spirit lives in me, and he helps me to understand that and to see that. So the last point on your notes is be spiritually minded. Be spiritually minded for the good of this earth. Be spiritually minded for earthly good. That is, live out your relationship with Jesus, your walk with God. Don't be afraid to live spiritual, to talk spiritual, to embrace what the Holy Spirit reveals. Let's stop being embarrassed. Remember, it's not about persuading. It's not about beating people up. It's not about looking superior. It's not about any of those things, is it? Shouldn't be. It should be about lives being transformed through the power of God, through the gospel. But for me to make my move, for me to live by faith, see right there, to live by faith, that's spiritual, is it not? Because my faith is in something that we can't see. So when I tell my friends I'm going to live by faith, that isn't going to make sense to them. And so, you know what? They think I'm silly. They go, what do you mean by that? So I tell them, no, you need to do this, you need to do that, and, you know, and all these plans that they tell me I need to make. I go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm living by, you're giving money to what? You're giving money to who? You're doing what with your money? You're going where? You know, all. So what do? I back off. I back off because it's not making sense to them. And I'm looking the fool. And now I've just put myself back in a place where I'm not going to move now for God. I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to follow him, at least not publicly and out and, you know, where people can see. You know, Paul's message here, I really believe this. It's be spiritually minded for earthly good. The world needs to see people who are living in the power of the Spirit of God. It needs to see people who believe with their life, with their actions, the message of the gospel and the cross. They need to see that demonstrated. It needs to be lived out. That's how we become the church that he intended us to be. That's how we finish well. That's how we finish strong. We live in the power of the Spirit. We're empowered by him. We have everything we need to get up tomorrow morning, go to work, and live as spiritual followers of Jesus Christ, that live openly, speak spiritual, talk about the things of God. Can we do that? Yes. We can if we do it in the power of God. We are empowered. You are empowered if you're in Christ, as I am. Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we respond this morning. Father, it is in your Spirit that we are able to have our eyes opened to understand your truth. Father, I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. I want this body, this group, this church to finish strong. You have put us here in this place and this time. And you've told us that we can do that. We can do that. Help us to do it this week. Help us to do it today. Even in this moment right now as we respond, it may be that you're calling us to take a step of faith, to do something, to move. In the power that the Holy Spirit has, I pray that we would obey. And in the presence of fear, we would display courage, and that we are just willing to take a step and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.